This is KCUR 89.3.
Loneliness is a topic that's largely been left to pop song writers and poets. But for the past few years, scientists have been warning that loneliness can be harmful to our health. It may even be a factor in other growing problems in the Midwest. Problems like drug use, suicide, and declining life expectancy. This week in our series, Loneliness is Killing You, KCUR's Alex Smith looks at the war on loneliness from the country that's leading the charge.
In the heart of London, at Buckingham Palace, the daily changing of the guard reminds crowds of tourists that the United Kingdom is a country with staying power. Over the centuries, the British have fought off famine, plague, economic depression, the Nazis. And a few blocks away, at 10 Downing Street in early 2018, Prime Minister Theresa May announced plans to take on a new threat to the lives of Britons.
In a country of more than 60 million people, and in an age where we can instantly connect with friends, relatives and even strangers around the world, it may seem counterintuitive that any of us could find ourselves feeling lonely.
May announced the start of a national campaign to address loneliness across the UK, including spending millions of dollars for community programs and a new long-term strategy for the National Health Service. She also introduced a new government position, the Minister for Loneliness. The reaction was probably not what the Prime Minister had hoped for.
That really sounds like a Victorian euphemism for a gigolo. Good evening, madame. I am the Minister of Loneliness.
The night after the announcement, Stephen Colbert and other commenters didn't hold back.
How is it supposed to work? The ministry has reviewed your application, and you are not lonely enough, I'm afraid. Your application for affection has been denied.
Although I was initially kind of shocked, I was actually quite flattered by it.
That's Tracy Crouch, the UK's first Minister for Loneliness and a Conservative Member of Parliament. She says she was glad the issue got attention, but admits she wouldn't have minded something else for her business cards.
Actually, there's a minister in the UAE who has the title of Minister of Happiness and Wellbeing, and quite frankly, I think I would have preferred that title to loneliness.
But the campaign and loneliness itself, as scientists are finding out, is no joke.
So here we are. This is the former hospital, Reynolds County Memorial.
In the remote town of Ellington, in southeastern Missouri, Debbie Tarvid, with Missouri Highlands Healthcare Clinics, drives by the town hospital, which closed in 2016. The building already shows signs of being infiltrated by creeping Ozark vegetation.
Doesn't take long for an unused building to start deteriorating, and it has.
Ellington has been losing population for decades, and the area has some of the worst health problems in the state, including growing rates of obesity and high rates of death from preventable disease, drug overdoses, and suicide. It's part of a swath of mostly lower-income white communities stretching from southern Missouri up through parts of Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia that all show similar trends. Karen White is CEO of Missouri Highlands. She says that these days, Ellington sees few outsiders other than fishing and canoe tourists and health researchers who are trying to understand why these areas seem stuck in a downward spiral.
It's just disheartening sometimes when you get the latest stats and you look at them and you're like, why can we not make this change?
Many experts think that lack of access to health care plays a big role in what's going on in these places, but it doesn't explain everything. They suspect that many health problems might be connected to how socially isolated these places are. Research over the past decade suggests that our brains may be wired to crave social connection. When we talk with friends, hold a newborn, or even sing with other people, our brains release oxytocin, a chemical that helps us relax and strengthen social bonds. Without those connections, our health can suffer. Pamela Qualter is a University of Manchester researcher. She explains that loneliness isn't necessarily the same thing as being physically isolated from other people.
It's about you feeling that you are disconnected from other people. And you might feel lonely because you haven't got as many friends as you would like, or you might feel lonely because you haven't got that quality relationship with another person.
There are cultural and genetic differences that influence how loneliness affects people, but scientists suspect that when many people feel lonely, their brains switch into fight or flight mode. Their nervous systems get flooded with the stress hormone cortisol, and that can be hard to shut off.
It impacts the inflammatory process. That's why we start seeing effects for coronary heart disease, hypertension, because we've got too much cortisol in our system.
Researchers have also found links between loneliness and mental health problems and sleep disruption. In places like southern Missouri and similarly remote parts of the UK, experts have been alarmed by a recent trend of decreasing lifespans. Unlike almost everywhere else in the developed world, people in these areas have been dying earlier due to preventable disease, substance abuse, or suicide. Stephen Wolfe of Virginia Commonwealth University has studied the phenomenon in Missouri and thinks loneliness could be a root cause of what some have called deaths of despair.
Lack of social support, or in plain language, people having your back, has tended to deteriorate in many communities. And there's less of a support system to help struggling families and neighborhoods cope with these problems in these communities.
Scientists in the U.S. are developing drugs they say could fight the effects of loneliness. But in the U.K., experts think they have a better solution.
We're going to start doing some mudras now. Now, mudras are...
At a hospital in London, a cheery young dance teacher named Georgia Cornwall welcomes a class of elderly patients recovering from falls or strokes. She's there to teach them Bollywood dance, the style from Indian movies that can be almost comically energetic.
Oh God, one more dance.
That's it, good.
The class is a kind of physical therapy, but more importantly, it's meant to help the patients be more social. Dance classes like this and other social activities could soon be as commonplace in British healthcare as blood pressure medications. This year, the National Health Service, which provides free healthcare to all residents of the UK, announced the creation of a new kind of healthcare worker, social prescribers, who will work in clinics across the country to refer patients to try new social activities. Simon Stevens is the head of the National Health Service.
And it could be ranging from gardening, through to knitting, through to dancing, through to all kinds of local activities that overcome the isolation and the loneliness and help people remain active, help them with a sense of purpose and a sense of social connection.
The NHS plans to have 1,000 social prescribers within the next 2 years, but interest in addressing loneliness is already taking off across the country. We'll explore that and how the problem is playing out in our area this week. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Alex Smith.
This report was made possible in part by a fellowship sponsored by the Association of Healthcare Journalists and supported by the Commonwealth Fund.